Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Here we go, gang. Welcome to another episode of Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. I'm Mitch Lawrence. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is my home. Darren Bunch out there in California in beautiful Bakersfield. We're excited because anytime we get to do an Emergency 9 episode, we are thrilled. And today we have Darren's good friend and my great friend for having beaten Bunch in the Bummage Smoys Cup in Pinehurst. Jason Moyes will join us to take his Emergency 9. I know he can't wait to do that. Before we do it, before we get to Jason, we want to thank our sponsor, which, of course, is GoGolfKauai.com. And Darren, it's Hawaii. It's the islands, and it's our favorite Hawaiian island, the truth. That is the truth, Kauai. And GolfPackagePros.com, they've launched a brand-new golf packaging site to help you get over there and help you to play great golf and have an unbelievable golf vacation.
Oh, man, I love Kauai. And, you know, I've done a number of the islands, but there's just something about it. It's so picturesque. It's so beautiful. It's so lush and green. And you've got golf that just with views for days. Hokuala, which used to be Kauai Lagoons, has just some just jaw-dropping holes. Poipu Bay is the same way. You've got Princeville Mackay. You've got Puakea and Wailua. You've got great places to stay. And all of that through GoGolfKauai.com and our friend Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, who is also golf packager extraordinaire, putting together just some great trips to Kauai.
Is that a double drink? Do we have double to say Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire and golf packager extraordinaire, double drink?
That's a good point.
Well, now we're going to be smashed for sure. But go to Golf Package Pros and go GolfKauai.com and you'll get a hit on what we're talking about. Absolutely fantastic. All right, let's get to our pal Jason Moyes. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well, especially after recording our last podcast, because I could feel, even 3,000 miles away, Bunch squirming and just cowering in a corner as you recounted your victory in the Bummage Smoys Cup with Mike Smee. And so I'm happy about that. And I think as a reward, we should look at this Emergency 9. You are so worthy of this Emergency 9.
I appreciate that. And I wish you told me there was no way, but I wish there was a way to incorporate video into this, because I think the only thing that would make this better would be the visual of what I'm wearing right now, which is solely a Dawson's Creek t-shirt and the Bummage Smoys Cup. Those are the only two items I have on right now. And I'm hoping that at some point we can get some video of that in there.
Oh, that is why you were one of my best friends in the world. The Dawson's Creek reference, you know, not just the fact that you're only wearing the cup as well, which, you know, I've seen before. And so that doesn't shock me.
Well, you haven't seen him just wearing the cup before, I hope.
Oh, you don't know.
Oh, geez.
We did share a room for a comfortable condo from Tobacco Road Golf and Travel for a number of days in North Carolina. So I saw lots of Jason that probably it's going to take therapy to erase.
I like how Mitch is pretending he wasn't there.
Well, I was there. I was in the room, but I did not see the Dawson's Creek t-shirt. Luckily, I did not see only the cup, if you would, you know.
At least you're not going to admit it.
Well, yeah. Well, that's true. All right. Are you ready for your Emergency 9?
I am as ready as I will be.
Good. This will be more fun than this talk about the cup in Dawson's Creek. All right. Number one, your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world.
This one is fairly easy for me. Having just come from North Carolina, right now my favorite course is Tobacco Road. That course is still in my mind as just such a unique experience that there's just nothing else to compare it to. It's just by itself on that list as far as a course to play. Now, the destination thing changes things a little bit because we went to Bandon a few years back, and going to Bandon is is an experience in and of itself. And so as far as a destination, a place to be for an extended period of time, it's Bandon. As far as a course to play, it's Tobacco Road.
And we need to go back to Bandon because I won at Bandon and I didn't win at Tobacco Road. So I think that's what we need to do. Although I'm trying to get the Bummage Smoys Cup, and obviously we have scheduling issues among the four of us. Everybody, has different schedules, different families. I guess that sounds odd. We have different families, obviously. Well, not really. Mike and Jason are kind of the same family, but I'm trying to get them to go to Gamble Sands up in Washington. It's another one of those courses I think we could do 4 days at or 3 days at and play multiple rounds and have the same experience that we had at Tobacco Road in terms of the golf course feeling different all the time with our different formats. So, Jason, what is at the top of your golf travel bucket list? I mean, you've done some things. You've been to Ireland. You've been to Bandon. You've been to the islands. But where is it that you really want to go that you haven't been?
I think the obvious easy answer is St. Andrews. I would love to go there. That's just a bucket list on anybody who's played more than one round of golf. But I really think that what I'd like to spend more time at and to go visit on a more regular basis is the courses in Ireland. We played a couple there. The most notable one was Lahinch, and absolutely loved that. And I'll explain more about that later. But I would like to get to see some more of those links courses, especially those along the coast. And Ballybunion would be I'd love to get to play there. Port Monarch, a lot of those places are just the kind of course that takes you back, and that's so just spending time over there and getting to do those courses is something that I dream to get back to.
Mitch, can I say something about Port Monarch real quick that I haven't told you that since Jason brought it up, and obviously I just played Port Monarch on my trip. But the number one tee box, we were there, I was playing with a member, and he said, walk all the way to the back edge of the number one tee box, which is literally your back is up against the pro shop. He goes, and take a look at it. A lot of people have told us to change this, but we never have. And so, and it's right, runs right along the water. And you go back, you stand at the very back, and it looks like a ramp for an aircraft carrier. Like the back is so much, is probably at least 5 feet lower than the front, very front of the tee box. And it looks like just a launch ramp when you stand on it. I've never, ever seen a tee box quite like that. Certainly not an opening tee box on any golf course anywhere. It was kind of interesting.
Well, it sounds perfect, and I'm with them. I don't know why they would want to change it. You're here talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So they could level it out and shorten it, and all of a sudden you've got kind of a normal tee box.
And I would have never noticed it had he not mentioned it. You know, I had been out there shooting pictures and hadn't even occurred to me. And then you get back there and somebody tells you to look for it, and you're like, oh, wow, this is really, really cool. You could fly planes off of it.
All right, cool. Jason, you and I will go. We'll leave Bunch out, but you and I will go because it's on my bucket list too. All right, let's move on. We talked a little about golf courses. Obviously, when you travel and you play golf, you got to stay somewhere. What's the best place you've ever stayed?
There's been a couple. The lodging at Bandon is great, and we got to stay in a four master bedroom condo townhouse type unit there that was amazing.
Those are called the Grove Cottages, just for the listeners.
The Grove Cottages were great. And especially for the group of us that went. We just went four guys, and it was great housing. But it also would have been great if we'd brought spouses, and they would have been more than enough privacy and area and common area to enjoy the time as couples too. Another one of my favorite places is when I've gone out to Palm Springs to La Quinta, and the resort out there has such a wide variety of housing available and amenities on site that I enjoy the places where you don't have to leave, where they have everything you need right there. And so I'd say those two places are the two that stand out to me the most.
Well, Mitch is a huge fan of La Quinta as well, and as am I. We did a whole episode on it. So listeners, if you hear that, go back and listen to our Palm Springs episodes. Now, question number four, what is the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip and where? Now, my answer to this when I took the Emergency 9 actually involved Jason. So, I mean, and that was at the Cracked Crab out in Pismo, where we just go for a gluttonous crab cracking feast at least once a year. Jason, what's your answer to the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip?
Well, we probably should have compared notes beforehand because that's also what I put, specifically remembering the last time you and I went, and they have this amazing bucket for two, which is probably really bucket for two and a half. Of
bucket
crab.
For four.
Right. But that wasn't enough for you and me. We asked what size of whole crab they had, and I think you and I ended up eating a 6-pound crab together.
I think it was bigger than that.
Was it bigger than that?
I think so.
I've never had a more concerned look from a server when we asked for that much food for just the two of us. It wasn't a look of judgment, which I would have understood. It was almost like she realized it was a cry for help from us. But we finished it.
We should say we finished most of it. We didn't like clean all the bones and the whole thing, as they say. And when she came over, she asked at the end of the meal, would you like a box to take the rest of it home? And we kind of looked at her and said, what do you mean take the rest of it home? And she goes, oh, there's still a lot of crab in here. And she like grabbed one of our tools and started like opening up little crevices and whatnot. And Jason and I were like, okay, we can't possibly eat anymore. So if that's all good crab, take it in the back and let the boys eat it or do something, because you know, we thought we had eaten it all, and then she just kind of scoffed at us.
As she should.
That's just a general rule of mine. I don't, I'm not trying to be a snob, but I have a general rule that I do not eat out of crevices. You have to go into a crevice to get the food. I'm going to pass. And so I do have standards.
See, I'm with you. That sounds like too much work. I'm all good for the big part. But when it gets down to it, some people could just gnaw on legs for a while. Not me. What was the name of it? It's in Pismo. Tell us the name again.
It's called the Cracked Crab.
Strangely enough.
I don't eat out of crevices.
You're still listening out of the crevice. Okay.
I don't eat out of crevices might be the best thing that's ever been said through about 70 episodes of this show.
There you go. Should we have another cup for Jason?
Oh.
Best line?
I think so.
All right, we're going to move on from the crevice discussion to our next question, which is, besides the golf and the people that you're with, which are the two big ones, obviously, what's the next most important thing to you on a golf trip?
Okay, this might not be the direction you're wanting people to go, but I have a fairly full schedule most of the time, and so when I go on a golf trip, when I'm looking to do something like that, I'm wanting some place that I can escape. I'm wanting some place that will immerse me in what I'm doing and where I am to the point where that's kind of all I'm consumed with. And so I'm looking for an experience. I'm looking for something that just catches me up in a place, in a time, in something that's bigger than just a golf game. And so I think that's why some of these places that are so historical in nature really appeal to me, because it really kind of, you're not just there playing golf, you're part of history, and it kind of beckons to another era, and it just helps focus and just make you feel like you're part of something bigger than just 18 holes. I'm really looking for something that's going to create an experience, that's going to create an escape, something that's just going to suck you into what you're doing and kind of shut everything else off for a while.
I like that.
What a great answer.
Yeah, that's a good solid answer, even though it wasn't the direction we were trying to send people or whatever you said.
We never try to send people in any direction, just so you know.
That's a good point. All right, question number six, and I should preface this question. I may have the answer. Jason is a Travis Matthew whore. Hashtag Travis Matthew whore. And so we need to know, what's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment you can't live without? My money would be on it's going to have something to do with Travis Matthew.
That is where you would typically be right, but not this time. I think in all honesty, the two things that I need are a pair of underwear that will prevent chafing and a good stock of handy wipes for longer than expected trips off into the woods.
Oh my God.
All right, so let's just dive deeper into those answers, shall we? Given that we all guys understand wanting non-chafing underwear, especially when you're on a trip, when you're walking a lot, do you have a particular non-chafe fashion that you prefer?
I find that a trunk style or synthetic material boxer brief does the trick for me.
Are you brand loyal when it comes to your underwear?
Not specifically. One great brand, though, is, if you want a brand, is Ex Officio.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're, is that the name of it?
That's the name of it, yes.
Ex Officio.
Correct.
And are you brand loyal when it comes to your handy wipes?
Under the heading of phrases you've never uttered, Darren.
I'm not brand loyal. I do prefer ones that are individually packaged.
Okay. Oh, well, we know what to get you for Christmas this year.
Mitch,
I know.
Mitch, I'm sorry.
It's going to be a treasure trove of underwear, boxer briefs, synthetic, and individually packaged handy wipes. I know I have never sent a Christmas box like that, and I will be really happy to do it.
I'm so sorry about all of this, Mitch. I can't stop laughing because
I know a handful of
stories about Jason having to use the handy wipes, and I don't even know where to begin or if we should.
Okay, I think a bonus question that we'll do in future episodes is we ask our guests, if you've had occasion to use a handy wipe on the golf course, tell us. And where was it?
You get some great stories.
All right, go ahead. I'm game. This is exactly the kind of thing that we like on this on the Emergency 9. Although, Darren, this could be the best golf story, which is our bonus question.
I think his golf story is going to come from Ireland, but... all I know is that there was a story that happened on the Pinehurst trip, in which it included the description, it looked like soft serve ice cream.
Excuse me?
That's all it is.
Excuse me?
I'm going to cut that out, but that is awesome.
Yeah, don't mention the course so that we can go back there sometime.
Oh my God.
All right. Oh, can we move God. On to question number seven?
Holy.
And I can't.
Yes, sure. Of course.
I can't even remember whose turn it is.
Let's see. This is my turn because you said you thought you knew the answer about Travis Matthew. And boy, I'm glad it wasn't Travis Matthew because this is a lot better. Travis Matthew is so boring. I mean, oh my God.
Can you imagine if they started making wipes, though?
Why don't you let them know? They could probably incorporate it into your Travis Matthew boxer briefs.
Excellent.
And just before we get off this, because you're lucky because there's so many companies like Two Under There's a lot of companies making great boxer briefs now.
It was our Labor Day trips to Palm Springs that started this problem.
Yeah, but that makes total sense. I used to go to Palm Springs all the time before there were good boxer briefs. I'll just leave it there.
How you're able to walk to this day is a miracle.
I'll just leave it there. I had some episodes on Dawson's Creek where I had to, you know, reach behind me in the middle of a scene and just pull my chafed butt, you know.
Mitch used to go to Palm Springs before there were boxer briefs.
I went to Palm Springs before there was Palm Springs. That's how old I am. I wish I had a rim shot here. I'm going to get a portable rim shot.
Oh my God.
All right. We're moving on. Here we go. I'll start as if nothing's happened. Okay. So we've stopped laughing about the previous answer from Jason, and we're going to move on to number 7 in the emergency 9. We know you play a lot of golf. Listeners who've been paying attention know that you are now a hickory player, which does my heart just complete joy. And I know Darren feels the same way. Given that part of your golf game, do you have a handicap? Do you care about a handicap? People feel differently about this with hickory clubs, because I have kind of a hickory handicap, but I don't really anymore because I just don't care. I don't play in competitions where it matters, so I just don't care. Do you have a handicap? What tees do you like playing from? I know in the Bummidge Smoys Cup, you got to play all the different tees, but is there one when you just go and play somewhere? How do you look at the yardages?
Yeah, I think handicap is not as important as it used to be when I was playing modern clubs. Right now, my index is a 14.6 or something like that, but I don't know how accurate that is now. With hickories, because it's kind of a hybrid of some modern play and some hickory clubs. But and then with the formats that we play with match play formats, a lot of times handicap's kind of irrelevant to a degree. But I try to play. If we're going to play a straight tee box, we try to stay right around 6,000 yards, 5,800 to 6,000 yards. So those are the tees we prefer, and that really lines up probably best with my hickory play right now.
Also, Jason is a lefty, so that's another handicap.
True.
Unless he happens to beat you in the Bummidge Smoys Cup, and then clearly that's not true.
That's a good point. We talk about hickories a lot on this show, but Jason literally will buy any left-handed hickory he can find anywhere on the web. Every time I talk to him, he's like, oh, I've got 5 more clubs coming, or I've got this coming, or I bought this the other day. So he has now become obsessed with trying to own all the left-handed hickory clubs in the world.
It's a worthy goal.
It sounds astounding, but there were only 11 that were made, so it's not that hard to find them.
Nice.
All right, D, you want to take on number 8?
All right, who is the most interesting person besides me you've ever golfed with?
Well, that changes things. It's not that exciting necessarily, but I have a buddy of mine that I play with, and his name is Brent, and I usually play with him in tournaments. When we do scrambles, I try to grab him. He's a former teaching pro, and great guy, super friendly guy. He even now, if he hasn't played in a year, he'll get out there and first couple balls will be here or there. But he starts drinking, and it's amazing to watch the transformation. By the turn, he's a 6-pack in, and he's 300 right down the middle every shot. And the transformation is so astounding that we've actually had tournament directors change the rules to outlaw drinking during the tournament just to try to slow him down. And so it's just, you know, once the rules get changed, you have to get a little sneakier about getting the alcohol out there. So it presents another challenge in itself. But no, he's a great guy, tons of fun to play with, and one of those guys that can just kind of gently throw a hint here or there, and just one of the most generous guys you could play with, and just a ton of fun.
So you have to basically turn your golf cart into a speakeasy when you guys go play?
Correct. And it gets challenging. Some of the carts can't hold the keg in the basket. So you have to get creative with that, but, some duct tape and chicken wire and you can pretty much make anything work.
They've got a new line of tank carts coming out that you guys could probably use.
I like that.
Or at least Brent. All right, we have gotten to number 9, although there is a question after this, but the 9th question of the emergency 9, and I particularly, I know Darren does too, but I particularly love this question because we've had some incredible answers, and it's really what this show is in a lot of ways about. What's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
You probably had this answer before, but I would have to say Sheep Ranch up in Oregon by Bandon.
Yes, we have had it. Do you have another one?
I'm sure you have.
No,
do I have another one?
I'm kidding. We're all in on Sheep Ranch. You don't have to ever come up with a second one on that.
Yeah, and Sheep Ranch, it kind of plays into what I alluded to earlier as far as just some place where, you know, you're out there and there's, you can make up whatever you want to make up. We made up a ton of games when we played out there and played it, you know, 800-yard holes and all kinds of different things and had an absolute blast just enjoying the game of golf, taking shots, the camaraderie of the people you're with, and you're out there almost pretty much all by yourself. It was just everything that I'm looking for in a golf experience, getting to play out there. So, but again,
perfect answer.
Like the back of the road, it was one of those things that was almost dead before we got there because of how much Darren was pushing for it.
One other place I thought Jason might mention, the place we play a lot here in the Valley called Ridge Creek, which is up in Dinuba, California. It's a John Foote design. It's kind of probably one of the only true Heathland golf courses in California. We go up there. We played some Bummage Smoys Cups up there. It's a place where we just go up and play to have a good time. And it's a lot of fun as well. So I thought that might have been his answer, but of course I didn't even think of the Sheep Ranch. In fact, I've pretty much just forgotten that you'd gone to the Sheep Ranch with me, Jason.
Thank you, Darren.
Nice.
It was special for
nice.
Me too.
Yeah, nice.
All right. Bonus question. Tell us your best golf course story. What's the coolest, weirdest, craziest thing you've ever seen or done on a golf course that doesn't involve handy wipes?
Well, now I've got to start over. But no, this is a sentimental one for me. You had mentioned previously that there's that our foursome, the Bummage Smoys foursome, three of us, in fact, have holes in one. One is still searching for that. But mine came in Hawaii 2 years ago or so, 2 or 3 years ago. But the thing that made it special for me, and the reason that's kind of just sticks out of my mind, is that's the first time I've gotten to go out and play golf with my daughter. And she went out with me. We played, she drove the cart. And so the second hole on the beach course at Waikoloa Village, and it's a 165 or so yard par 3 over water, and I got my hole in one, and just getting to first of all have a hole in one, but getting to have that experience while I was with my daughter on the first trip, it's totally ruined her for golf because she wonders why I don't get them all the time now, because to her it was so easy. But that was just an experience to me that will stick out in my mind as far as one of my most special moments on a golf course. That didn't involve a handy wipe.
What's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Morea.
Spelled?
Spelled like the island of Morea that I speak about so often on this show.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
Morea.
And what a great story. What a absolute. How many holes in one have you had? Was that the only one?
That's the only one.
See, those are special. I'll tell you my hole in one dog story sometime, not here. But it's kind of the same thing when you have those moments and they may never come again and you'll remember them forever. I think a fantastic way to close the emergency 9.
We're all on the quest right now for a hole in one with the Hickories. You and me, Mitch, Jason hasn't had one with the Hickories. Our friend Chad hasn't had one with the Hickories. In fact, nobody I know who plays Hickories, who I have played with the Hickories, has a hole in one with the Hickories. And I've come close. You've come close. I think when somebody does get one, we're going to have a special episode just all about the Hickory hole in one, if it ever happens in our lifetime.
Well, you know that'll happen, and it will.
Hey, Mitch, yeah. Did Darren ever tell you? I know that there's been a lot of kind of revving and taunting amongst this Bummage Smoys group, but there's
a lot of what
kind of touching, a lot of taunting and razzing between the four of us. But I want you to know, too, we're not all jerks to each other all the time. Sometimes we do reach out to kind of pick each other up. And one example of that, if Darren hasn't shared this with you already, but I mentioned that three of us do have a hole-in-one and one of us does not. And so as a way to encourage that person, we created inspirational posters. I believe they're 24 by 36 each. With pictures of us holding, you know, either the flag or something symbolic of our hole in one, and an inspirational saying underneath that. We framed those posters, three of them, and hung them in the fourth person's office with irremovable hooks. that once that person, and I think that person is drawing on the inspiration on a daily basis, and once he gets his hole in one, he gets the key to remove those frames from his wall. They've been hanging there for, what, a year and a half now, Darren?
Yeah, longer than that, I think. You can say his name. It's Chad. Chad is the one who does not have a hole in one. He is bitter about it. But you're right. I think it's a nice thing that you did, Jason, by building the posters, putting that inspiration up for him. I'm hoping he gets one someday after the rest of us get one with our Hickories.
Right. You won't find three people pulling for him more than the three of us. I can say
well,
that.
Well, now you've got four. So he's going to get it.
We'll get your poster done too, Mitch, and we can add you to the wall.
Okay, cool. It'd be an honor to be added to that wall.
That's a good idea.
All right, Jason Moyes, thanks for being with us in Emergency 9 here on Talking Golf Getaways. And this has been a treat. A lot of laughs, a lot of great info, and it's pretty clear that you all have a pretty special relationship on and off the golf course, which I'm pretty jealous when it comes to that stuff. It's great that you're all kind of living near enough to each other where you can experience this on a regular basis. So thanks for being with us. I hope you've had as much fun as we have.
I've had a ton. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
And maybe if you're lucky, Darren will say it's okay to have you on again. As far as I'm concerned, you can come on all the time. We'll have to check with Darren.
I don't think he's ever coming on the show again.
There you go. I knew that was coming. All right. As always, thanks to our sponsor, GoGolfKauai.com, brought to you by the great folks at Golf Package Pros. Thanks to you, the listeners. Couldn't do it without you. Hit Darren up on Twitter. Darren is at GetawaysGolf. I'm at Mitch Lawrence, LAURANCE. You can use hashtag TalkingGolfGetaways, hashtag Emergency9, hashtag 2HaggisBags, or hashtag HandyWipes, just to get to Jason. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you laughed too. If you enjoy it, share it with your friends. Rate us on iTunes. We're just trying to spread the word about the best in golf travel. Obviously, a lot of dreams came true having Jason on this Emergency 9 episode. We hope your dreams will come true too. Keep running them down. Take it away, Tom Petty. So long.